Welcome to the Climate Report on WFMP FM Louisville. This is Hart Hagen, your host, and we are on episode number 96. Today's topic is Green Jobs, Part 1. We'll be talking about how the Green New Deal will create jobs. The opponents of progress, the opponents of change, don't want to do anything but cast aspersions at the Green New Deal and talk about how much it's going to cost. But the question they don't answer and don't even ask and don't want you to even think about is how much does it cost for us to stay on the same old tired system? So we'll be talking about green jobs in a few minutes, but first, here's what the Climate Report is all about. At the Climate Report, we believe that climate change is real, that climate change is a problem we can solve and we must solve urgently. The worst effects of climate change are not in the distant future, and the point of no return is not in the distant future either. Some scientists are predicting that the year 2030 is a time where if we're not at or near zero carbon emissions by that time, then it could be the point of no return for the human species as far as the civilization we've become accustomed to in the last 10,000 years. And some people say that's alarmist, but you have to ask what the people who accuse others of being alarmist, you have to ask, what do they have faith in? You know, who are they reporting to? What do they have to gain by business as usual? And the answer is, there are people who make a ton of money off of business as usual. There are people for whom business as usual has made them billionaires, and they don't want to give up the system that has made them rich. And then there are other people who are the hangers-on to the billionaires. They're not billionaires themselves, but they are constantly propagandized by the billionaires and by the corporations, by the oil companies, by the companies that take advantage of an international business system and an international trade system that depends on fossil fuels and depends on war and depends on exploitation of people and depends on exploitation of natural resources. And they've got a good thing going on in their own minds, and they just don't want to think about change. But we have an opportunity to create a whole new world, a better world, a world with thriving local economies and thriving local ecosystems, and a world where there is true opportunity and true equality. Here's a secret, one of the best-kept secrets in American culture, and that is where you have a thriving economy, you have a proactive government. Where you have a thriving economy, you have a proactive government. Where you have a thriving economy, you have government investing in people and in industries in a way that is very planned. Now, in the United States, it's kind of dysfunctional because the way they do that is not to say, hey, here's the technologies we'll need for a prosperous, happy, thriving economy and a prosperous, happy, thriving society, so we're going to invest in those. They don't do that. Instead, what they do is make you afraid. They make you afraid of Russians, and they make you afraid of socialists, and they make you afraid of Arabs and Muslims and terrorists, and they make you afraid of narco-traffickers. And if you're afraid of some or all of these things, then you're willing to fork over tax dollars for a bloated, wasteful Department of Defense. And a Department of Defense that does create jobs and does create technology, but it does not create as many jobs as we can have with a Green New Deal, and it does not create as much technology, at least as much useful technology, as we will be able to create under a Green New Deal, because the government will be proactively and transparently investing in the things that we need, not investing the things that are required to destroy our supposed enemies. One thing that the Department of Defense does, and all of the war machine does, is brain drain. Brains and talent, whether it's engineers or whether it's fighter pilots, whether it's marketers, whether it's human resource professionals, the war machine drains or recruits and attracts talent and drains it from the rest of the economy. So we need solar engineers, but the government is too busy investing in the weapons of death and destruction. We need engineers and technicians in the area of wind power, but the war machine attracts that talent and pays it more money. Why? Because we have a systemic problem. We have a very dysfunctional system that wants to invest all of our money in a war machine and attract all of our talent to apply its brains and its passion and its intelligence and its courage in a war machine that destroys our enemies and a lot of innocent civilians. And at the end of the day, it doesn't create as many jobs as you can create through a Green New Deal, through new technologies such as solar power, wind power, mass transit, state-of-the-art electric grid, agricultural reform, and ecological projects and programs. I just named six things that are far and away more useful to society than the war machine: solar power, wind power, mass transit, state-of-the-art electric grid, agricultural reform, and ecological restoration. Six things that are more important to society than the war machine, more important to society than just about anything the Fortune 500 companies do. So we can create a whole new world, but in order to get there, we must understand the exact nature of the obstacles we face. Not least of all, we must understand the nature and extent of corporate power. And we must understand the exact nature of the U.S. government. Government is not inherently good or inherently bad. My conservative and libertarian friends want to believe, because they've been taught to believe, that government is inherently bad, inherently corrupt, inherently inefficient, inherently incompetent, inherently bureaucratic, inherently wasteful. But government is not inherently any of those things. It all depends on who controls it and who it serves. Do we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people? Or do we have a government of the powerful, by the powerful, and for the powerful? I think you know the correct answer to that question. We currently have a government of the powerful, by the powerful, and for the powerful. My conservative and libertarian friends think that government is a big threat to our freedoms, but it's not government, it's the power behind the throne. The power behind the throne is the big corporations, the big banks, big agribusiness, the war machine, fossil fuel companies, even retailers, and multinational restaurant corporations. Those are the power behind the throne. Pharmaceutical companies and big health insurance companies, those are the power behind the throne. We don't, hate to break it to you, but we don't have a democracy. We have a plutocracy. Our government is not the rule of the people, it's the rule of money. Democracy is one person, one vote, but we know that the vote of money is far more powerful than our vote at the polling station. So what we have is a plutocracy, not a democracy. We have the form of a democracy, but the substance behind the form is plutocracy, because money rules. Now, there is a glimmer of hope. We do have recent developments that indicate some candidates are able to win without taking corporate money. first and foremost Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but also in the 2016 election, Bernie Sanders did pretty darn well, even though he didn't take corporate money, and he had a Democratic Party machine that was rigged against him. But the hope for the future, at least as far as electoral politics goes, is candidates who don't take corporate money, and that when they get into the legislature, they're not beholden to these corporate leviathans that want to rule the world. So we must understand that big corporations are the power behind the throne in Washington, D.C. and every state capital. Corporations want us to believe. Now, why am I talking about corporations? Because they're going to be standing in the way of the Green New Deal. They're going to be standing in the way of all the jobs that can be created with the Green New Deal, and they're going to be standing in the way of all the technology that can be created with the Green New Deal. They're going to be standing in the way of democratic reforms that can take place under the Green New Deal. And these corporations want us to believe that corporate America is America, but nothing could be further from the truth. They want you to think that they are the economy, but nothing can be further from the truth. They want you to think that they are the engine of growth, but nothing can be further from the truth. Corporations and corporate power are at war with the people of America and the people of the world, and we must understand that and deal with it if we're going to even survive as a species. They even have control of people's minds because they're so good at propaganda. This goes back to at least World War I. I mean, World War I was a time when propagandists really learned how to do propaganda, and they've been busy about the propaganda business ever since and have been successful at convincing people that there actually is something called a free market, as if a free market exists. But that's a whole other conversation. But this show, The Climate Report, is a course in intellectual self-defense, so we might defend ourselves against the onslaught of propaganda and even laugh at it, because the things we are asked to believe are truly ridiculous. And that's what The Climate Report is all about. This program is part of WFMP's Public Affairs Educational Programming. The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the station. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please email info@theclimatereport.net. So today we're going to be looking at a document published by, it's on a website called Data for Progress, but that's a project of a group called Justice Democrats. Who are the Justice Democrats? Well, it's a progressive, left-leaning group of Democrats. Think Green Party, but within the Democratic Party. It is an organization that gave Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez a lot of help in getting elected, and their tagline on their website says, "It's time to usher in a new generation of diverse working-class leaders into the Democratic Party. A Democratic Party that fights for its voters, not just corporate donors." And that says it all. To me, the big line in the sand, the big bright line that says everything in American politics is, do you take corporate money or not? And if you don't take corporate money, you can work for your voters, not corporate donors. If we had that, it would be an entirely different ball game, and my optimistic self wants to believe that that will happen in the foreseeable future. So that's who the Justice Democrats are, a small sliver on the left of the Democratic Party, and they don't take corporate donations. So what is the Green New Deal? Reading from their website, the website, by the way, is dataforprogress.org, and if you search for the following search term, Green New Deal 10 years, then this will pop up. But it's on at dataforprogress.org/Green New Deal. So what is a Green New Deal? A Green New Deal is a broad and ambitious package of new policies and investments in communities, infrastructure, and technology to help the United States achieve environmental sustainability and economic stability. I would also say social justice. A Green New Deal is not just about solar and wind and electric cars and mass transit. It's also about dealing with the underlying social and economic injustices that continue to plague our society. And the reason it's important to do both is that we cannot solve our environmental problems if we continue to allow the social injustices, such as concentrations of corporate power and money. So I wanted to focus on this part of the plan. The plan is called A Green New Deal. There is no The Green New Deal. There are alternative versions. The Green Party has a good version, and the Justice Democrats have a good version. If there are any other detailed Green New Deals, I'm not aware of them as yet. So, reading from the website, accomplishing a Green New Deal requires millions of new living wage jobs that provide dignity to families and renew our vision of America in the 21st century. It will grow the economy and revive our belief in a good American job. Now, the naysayers and the defenders of business as usual always focus on the negatives and the downside of any version of a Green New Deal. And for time immemorial, oil companies, gas companies, coal companies have lied to people and have made them think that they are the source of all jobs. They have also lied to people by saying, these are the only jobs your community is going to get. And they've lied by saying that there has to be a trade-off between jobs and the environment. But let's compare. This is from data obtained from the World Bank, which is not terribly green. But the World Bank says that for every $1 million of spending on energy jobs, or energy industry, you get this many jobs. So oil and natural gas, 5.2 jobs. Coal, 7 jobs. Building retrofits, 17 jobs. Mass transit, freight and rail, 22 jobs. Smart grid, 12.5 jobs. Wind, 13.3 jobs. Solar, 14 jobs. Biomass, 17 jobs. So oil and gas is at the very bottom of that list. Oil, gas, and coal are both at the very bottom of that list in terms of jobs created per $1 million spent on energy. So if we want to create a mass transit system, great, that's going to create 22 jobs for every $1 million spent. If we want to create a smart grid, that's going to create 13 jobs for every $1 million spent. We could go on, but the defenders of business as usual, they have a good propaganda machine. Now, are these numbers the right numbers? The important thing is not to have a precise answer. The important thing is to be able to ask the right questions. That's what intellectual self-defense is all about, asking the right questions and having reasonably good information. But the defenders of business as usual are going to focus on the downside of change, the downside of the proposals they don't like. They're always going to ask, how much is it going to cost to pay for a Green New Deal? They're never going to ask, how much does our current system cost? Continuing to read from dataforprogress.org, the goal is to create 10 million new jobs over the first 10 years through employment and training programs associated with Green New Deal grants and projects. There are signs that the jobs of the future are green jobs, and here are three bullet points to support that. In 2017, there were 800,000 Americans employed in low carbon emissions generation technologies and 2.25 million employed in energy efficiency. This compares to only 92,000 for coal-fired generation. In other words, this is comparing alternative ways to generate energy, solar and wind on one side, and coal-fired generation on the other side. A great many more people can be employed through solar and wind and also energy efficiency, which mainly means retrofitting buildings. Here's another bullet point. Solar jobs have grown 168% over the past 7 years. In other words, it's about 2.5 times what it was 7 years ago. And wind turbine technician is one of the fastest growing jobs in America. So let's look at what the Bureau of Labor Statistics says about this. A wind turbine service technician. The job outlook, employment of wind turbine service technicians is projected to grow 96% from 2016 to 2026. In other words, it's going to just about double in that time frame, much faster than average for all occupations. Job prospects are expected to be excellent. The median annual wage for a wind turbine technician is $53,880 per year as of May 2017. Similarly, let's look at what the Bureau of Labor Statistics says about solar installer. Employment of solar photovoltaic installers is projected to grow 105% from 2016 to 2026, much faster than average for all occupations. The continued expansion and adoption of solar panel installations will result in excellent job opportunities for qualified individuals, particularly those who complete photovoltaic training courses at a community college or technical school. Now, let me say something about these stats. So we're looking at solar and wind technicians, and we're saying they're going to be to just about double, but they're making certain assumptions there. And I think their assumptions need to, there's a variable, a wild card, if you will, and that is, how much is the government going to invest in these technologies? Under the Green New Deal, there will be a massive investment in these technologies, in which case you're talking about, we're not just talking about a situation where the free market is going to kind of gradually take care of solar and wind, and we're just going to have to let the magical free market do its magical work. That's that laissez-faire, hands-off type of philosophy that we're asked to believe in, but it's not the reality in the world. The propagandists, the right-wing propagandists, want us to believe that we live in a free market society, but Boeing doesn't live in a free market society. All the war contractors don't live in a free market society. Agribusiness that gets subsidized doesn't live in a free market society. Oil companies don't live in a free market society. These are all industries that give massive investment, that get massive investment or other assistance from the federal government. Now it's time for solar and wind and mass transit and a smart grid to get massive investment from the federal government. It's also time for agricultural reform and ecological restoration to get massive investment from the federal government. These things will create jobs, and they will also put a lot of money into the economy. They will spin off technologies, and they will give us the world that we are looking for. They will give us the world we want. Why? Because we will all of a sudden be living in a world, in a country that is of the people, by the people, for the people. We currently live in a country that is of the corporation, by the corporation, for the corporation. Of the powerful, by the powerful, for the powerful. And the powerful people with their powerful propaganda machine want you and me to believe that there is no alternative, that this supposedly free market that we have is the only way to fly. It's the only way. It's the American way. That's why I say corporations have wrapped themselves in the American flag. The wealthy have wrapped themselves in the American flag, trying to get us to believe that they are the engines of growth, and they are none of that. Trying to get us to believe that they are the American way, and they are not. Corporations and corporate power have grown by leaps and bounds since about the mid-70s or early 80s, and they have transformed our society to their benefit and to our detriment. They have transformed society to their benefit and to the detriment of the American people and to the detriment of the poor and middle class all over the world. But that's this whole other conversation. So we've got just a couple minutes left. We're going to wrap it up. So the thing is, we have an opportunity to create a whole new world. But we can only do that if we understand the exact nature of corporate power. Corporations are artificial, for one thing. Now, if you have a small corporation for a small local business, no harm done. You should probably have a corporation or a limited liability company for your small local business, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about corporations like Walmart and Home Depot and KFC and McDonald's are unimaginably big. Plus, they outcompete local businesses, and the only way they can outcompete local businesses is because they are not paying the true cost of what they sell. They're not paying for the adverse environmental impact. They're not paying for the loss of pollinators when they clear a forest. They're not paying for the erosion when they clear forests. They're not paying for the flood control that no longer exists when they clear forests. They're not paying their fair share of the roads that we have. They're not paying their fair share of the true cost of emitting excess amounts of carbon into the atmosphere. They're not paying the cost of the water pollution that they cause. Every form of fossil fuel causes water pollution. These big companies are not paying for the cost to people when they dispossess peasants all over Latin America. They're not paying for the loss of life when the American government trains death squads to massacre people and torture people. And this is not something that happens occasionally. It's not something that happens accidentally. And it's not something that happens on a small scale. It is intentional. It is large scale. It is systemic. And I'm not supposed to be telling you this because the big corporations don't want you to know about it because it would tarnish their image. Poor dears. So let's create a new society and come out from under the enslavement of these corporate beasts. That's all for today. Thank you for joining me. Come back next time.